You know what you could do? You can always pick that for a movie pick in the future.
I have like 30 movies right now. I don't really want to watch that, right,
so please don't. Like, isn't like 3 hours long? Isn't it super long?
No, I don't think so.
That's the way you both. I feel like it is. Yeah, I feel like it's pretty long. Yeah, they like closed down Revere Beach for like whatever. They're filming a movie right now, I think it, or filming something, I think, right now at Fenway. I think it's The Walking Dead.
Oh, they are. It is The Walking Dead. Yeah.
Why are they filming that in Fenway? Is that where the show is right now? It's in Boston?
It might be. The new one with like Michonne and Rick or whatever. Like,
I mean, that would get me to at least watch that episode.
I thought they were in D.C. for that one. Like, I'm not watching it, but I don't think
there's something they're doing in Boston for The Walking Dead. I don't know what it is, but
it might be a new. They keep making spinoffs of The Walking Dead, so it could just be.
I don't know who's watching that still, but
because I Walking Dead.
Not last weekend, maybe 2 weekends ago, we just like one of the days went into the city for a little bit to like whatever, fuck around, and I wanted to go to like the fucking the Red Sox like store, just to kind of see what was in there. I like popping in there from time to time, and there were like a bunch of movie trailers that were like parked next to Fenway, but I didn't see like anything going on. But then I think Jen said she had said, like saw something that said Walking Dead or something was filming here, or it was filming in Massachusetts, and I was like, maybe it was that. I don't fucking know. Anyways, welcome everyone to the Past Controller Podcast, a show where a couple of best friends talk about the latest in video games and nerd culture. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we talk about The Walking Dead too much. Either way, we have a new episode for you each and every week. As always, I'm your host, Brandon Groom, and joining me on this lovely Friday evening is the anime senpai himself, Mr. Michael Desir. Mike, how are you tonight?
Okay.
Also joining us, of course, is the Fortnite father himself, Todd Gary. Shit's getting scary. Todd, how are you doing?
Oh, shit. I'm alive. I'm good.
And rounding us out, of course, is the Disney daddy himself, Dominic 40. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm here.
We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about a few games. We're going to talk about PAX East coming up next week. And before we do that, a couple of quick housekeeping things. The PTC Movie Club pick for March, I forgot what month it was, for March is Dom's pick. And it is poor. Is it Poor Thing or Poor Things with an S? I don't remember. Poor Things.
With an S.
We're going to talk about Poor Things at the end of the month. So if you want to listen to us chat about the Emma Stone Oscar winning movie, Poor Things, you can watch that and we'll talk about it at the end of the month. There could potentially be a week delay on that episode just because we'll be at PAX East next week. So that might throw a hiccup into the recording schedule. So we'll see. But either way, we'll have that for you at the end of the month or at the beginning of April. So if you want to hear us chat about that, make sure you watch that movie if you haven't. A couple other quick housekeeping things. Actually, I guess I'll push the rest of the housekeeping, which are panels and stuff, because we're going to talk about PAX East in this episode. So if you are planning to come to PAX East this upcoming week, or if you are, whether you're a veteran or first time going to PAX East, we're going to talk about some tips and tricks and, you know, things to prepare yourself for what I think is always a good time. So before we get to that, though, what's everyone been playing? Anything on your side of the world, Mike, or you've just been status quo with some Fortnite and some anime on the side?
Yeah, same old shit. And I truly don't really play Fortnite unless you guys are like, hey, let's play Fortnite. So if we haven't played, then I haven't played.
Oh, sorry. I meant to say Overwatch.
Overwatch. Oh, okay.
How's Total Mayhem been treating you? Did you buy any Cowboy Bebop skins?
$25 a skin. It is.
What are they doing?
I have been trying to say this to other people that I feel like Overwatch's purchases in the shop, their cosmetics, are way overpriced. And it's someone like, did like a price comparison with Fortnite to me, and I was like, I don't think those are the same value. I think you get a lot more other things. Because it's $25 for just the skin, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. Like, if you're spending that much on something in Fortnite, I feel like it's usually like a skin pack or like a skin plus an emote and like a back bling or something. So I feel like you get a little bit more out of it. I mean, it's all garbage. Oh, but
it's all garbage. But at least in Fortnite, it's third person, so I can at least see myself from the back when I'm running around.
That's yeah, true. Right.
I mean, exactly. at least in Fortnite, we're all playing that game.
Yeah.
Also true.
So if you spend the $25 skin in for Total Mayhem, Mike, none of us are ever going to see it. Plus, do you still not change your skins? Or is that just a Reaper thing?
That was just a Reaper thing, but they added a feature recently. I don't know. I'm not going to say recently. They added a feature, which I like, is that it's sort of like Fortnite, where you can favorite certain skins, and then you can do a random of your favorites.
Oh. Like on a per match basis, not like every time you respawn or something.
Yeah, on a per match basis.
Okay.
So like for Reaper, I forget if I marked anything as favorite, but I think I have any character that I use, I have it set to do random from favorites. Okay. I might not have chosen any favorites for Reaper, so that would go through all of his skins. But I don't play as Reaper that much anymore, so like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Who's your go-to these days?
I mean, if I'm playing,
he's playing Total Mayhem. He's playing Zarya.
Is it still Zarya? Is it Junkrat?
No, I don't. I use Junkrat. I use Moira, and I use Orisa. I'll use Zarya sometimes if I think I'm dealing with a troublesome D.Va or something like that.
Total Mayhem is like not roll lock either, right? Like everyone
it's
can
not
just
roll
pick.
Lock. So
can
it
you
is...
double up on heroes or no?
Can't double up on heroes, but you know, I will run into matches where they're basically running goats. And there's really nothing you can do about that.
I'm happy you're doing you. You're enjoying yourself. You're dipping your feet into the chaos and just waiting around on those waters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time. What about you, Todd? Anything new over?
I bought Immortals of Abram for $8, the digital edition. Just by chance, I saw it up there. It's a game. It's not good. I'll probably play it and beat it. I mean, I'm not having a horrible time, but
there are so many games that you need to play and finish.
Yeah,
and you're playing that for some reason.
Because it's just like mindless. Like I'm like just zoning out during story. They won't even let you skip story parts. I would just probably be done with this game at this point if you could just skip the story parts. But it's funny because what's the other game that Bethesda made that's kind of like this game, but like. It was Ghostwire Tokyo. That game does the style of combat so much fucking better. And this game is like arcadey version of that. And it's just, it's fine. It's whatever. I'm just like, I got it for $8. So, I mean, I can't really complain, but it's it's a game. And I'm fucking banging out fucking the festival on Fortnite. And let me just tell you, I've probably put about 6 hours into that. And I'm only about four spots through the past. I got like 8 more or 6 more, and it's going very slow. And I just want my Lady Gaga skin.
I don't know. I mean, I don't do the festival pass, so I don't know how. I don't know if it's actually that slow or if you're just
I'm doing missions. I'm doing every
idea.
Mission. I'm doing like everything. I'm only doing missions. Like I'm only playing it to do missions, and it's still moving slow. It's rough.
Do either of you have the festival pass?
I have it. I have the festival pass.
Is it also slow moving for you?
I don't know. Cause like I really only played it. I made a distinct effort to play it the last day of the last season's battle pass. Cause I was trying to just do stuff to get levels.
Does it automatically unlock the skin for the person in it? Or no, when you buy it? Or do you have
no.
to like,
I think
cause
I
like the, okay.
I don't think I have Lady Gaga my thing at all anywhere.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's moving slowly, but I'm only maybe 3 tiers into it, I think. Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't do all the missions because at a certain point I was just tired.
Can I use a guitar with that?
I don't have a rock band guitar.
See, I do. Like, I could just like.
I don't think it works that way yet.
Oh, okay.
I think they were still working on that.
Well, good luck to you trying to get that Lady Gaga skin. I mean, I'll play festival with you guys to help you do it. And if I end up also just plowing through it, then I'll probably just buy the pass to get the skin. But
one of the missions you have to do in it is like go to the gym. It's like called the gym area. And
I didn't figure that out for a while.
It took me so long to figure it out. I was like, where the fuck is this thing? And finally, I just put it in the search bar and it popped up because it's like not accessible unless you search it. And like you just sit on stage for 5 minutes with each instrument and fucking that's how you get like the quest for each one. And I'm just like, so it was like 20 minutes of just sitting there, like, and I'm looking through my phone waiting for these things to go through. I'm just like doing what we do inside a match. And I was like, oh, this is great. So we do it.
I mean, I'll play with you guys, but I don't foresee myself, as much as we all love Rock Band, I have no interest still, really. It's bizarre. Okay. Maybe when they add instrument support, I'll feel more inclined to like hop in. Maybe that's the thing. I have no idea. I mean, I play a lot of rhythm games that just play on a controller, like Final Fantasy The Rhythm and other things, Persona Dancing. Like, I have no problem playing a rhythm game with a controller. So, anyways, what about you, Dom? I know we talked before the show that you have finished Remake. So how are you feeling on that? And I think you can openly talk about it. Like if you're listening to this and you don't want Final Fantasy VII Remake spoilers, just skip ahead a little bit. Say whatever you want about the game.
I thought it was a good game. I can see why people would consider it their favorite Final Fantasy or their favorite game. There's a lot of sorry, I'm just trying to check to see if the Lady Gaga skin was free with the thing.
I don't know if they are with the festival pass. Like when you buy the special passes, like the
I thought it gives you like a skin, like
the Shredder one, you get the skin and then you unlock the special skin.
I thought they did it the same way with the festival pass, but it doesn't look like that.
No, because for the weekend there was a separate skin in the shop. Same with Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to remember, is if the armored up skin was in the shop or if it was like the final tier, but it looks like it's a different skin. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah, I enjoyed it. There were a lot of... there's a lot of... I don't know, nonsense in it, I guess?
Yeah.
The climax of the game starts with a fucking motorcycle chase.
Oh God, I forgot about that. Oh God.
Like, I don't understand why it, like, I get, like, for the story, like, you need to get them away from the Shinra building, but you could have just done that in a cutscene for me. Like, I don't know why I had to play that. Like, it just felt
completely... I hated that mission at the beginning of the game when you go to the girl's house. I forget which girl it is, and then you do that whole mission.
I love Jesse. I like going to Jesse's house.
I like going to her house, but, like, the motorcycle part after, I fucking hate.
I didn't mind doing it at the beginning because it was like, all right, like, I'm learning about these characters, like, whatever. But, like, literally, like, end of the game, I get into chapter 18 and I'm on a motorcycle. I'm like, what are we doing?
No, seriously, wait. But I agree with you. I feel like that game and Rebirth, to an extent, they like to take things and blow them up and make them much larger. And I know you haven't played the original game, but like the original game is also like kind of wacky and silly. And like a lot of the stuff that's in Remake and Rebirth, it is just like expanded upon versions of what was in the original game. But yeah, I mean, the end of that game is long. The end of Rebirth is fucking long too. So aside from the motorcycle situation, how do you feel about the conclusion of that game?
I thought it was well done. I like, obviously, like you said, like I hadn't played the original. So I like kind of read into like, all right, like, where did this game leave off versus like what happened in the original, just to kind of see, like, because I could tell that they were like, it's obvious from playing the game, like they're telling a different story, like the way the whispers were presented in that final chapter, I was like, all right, something different is happening here, I just don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
And then they started doing like the flash scenes where it was like where like Tifa had like her cowboy hat on, and I was like, all right, I know this is a scene from the original game, like like a remastered scene from the original game. I just like, I obviously don't know what's happening in that cutscene, so like, I didn't know, like, I don't know. The end of the game was like well done enough that like I just like read a little bit about like where this game would have left in the original game, I guess. It left me wanting to play more of the story. I'm glad that I played it while Rebirth is out, so that like I can continue the story and not have to like worry about it, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like trying to see, it's looking like the stream might have went down. Can you double check for me, Mike? Because it's showing me it's live, but then it's telling me it's reconnecting, so I don't actually know if it's live or not.
Let's see, what do we have here? Oh, we're getting ads, but I think
it says live, right?
Yeah. Did you just drink some water?
No.
Then maybe it did.
Dom's flipping off. Is Dom flipping off on the stream?
No. I'm getting a black screen with a blue spinny wheel.
Okay.
But I'm waiting for this ad to finish to make sure when it actually...
The audio, unless something else happens, the audio will be fine. But this is... Oh, maybe it's fixed. I don't know what that means for... The Twitch stream might get split into two, but
what the fuck is the internet? So the other thing was like, I could tell between like the whispers, and then like they show Zach, and like you can tell like he is like telling the player like something's different in my story too.
Yeah,
because he like stands up and he's like, "That's everybody."
Yeah,
and I was oh, he must have died in the original game.
Do you know anything about the original game?
No, but I know who Zach is.
Okay. Do you know, but you don't even know Zach's like story though.
He is from Crisis Core, right?
Yes.
The Crisis Core games. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I know, kind of what happens to him.
Yeah.
In the original story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay to say that, yes, part of the end of that game is like, Zach is dead, so yeah. What is going on?
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, I think for the most part, Remake sort of stays pretty close to the original game with, as you had kind of said, the whispers are the things that are like kind of showing you that there's something else afoot.
Were the whispers in the original game?
I don't think so. No.
They weren't at all? Okay.
No.
That was the part that I couldn't tell, is like at the beginning, I was like the whispers happened pretty quickly. Like Aerith,
yeah.
You see like Aerith with the flower and like the whispers are like circling her. And then as soon as she touches Cloud, he sees them too. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is like she saw them in the original game and now she's like getting other people to see them. Like I couldn't tell if like there was some piece of the whispers in the original.
Yeah. I like, there's a lot of dialogue around this game and obviously around Rebirth now. And I am not going to sit here and be like, try to say I'm like a Final Fantasy VII lore expert, because I'm definitely not. Especially with Rebirth Remake, there's plenty of
interviews. I feel like you've played the original and everything. You probably have like, you probably remember it better than anyone because you played like the original right after Remake and everything.
I mean, out of us, but like, I'm sure there are plenty of people that might listen to this.
Play it every day.
Yeah. That like know way more about very minor things than I do. But I think the function of the whispers for the most part is, I believe, and I don't think this is a spoiler for you for Rebirth. I think their function is just like, they're supposed to keep the story the same. Their function is to like allow the destiny to play out.
Yeah.
Obviously the end of that game is not a thing that happens in the original game.
Well, yes, I mean they make that very blatantly obvious.
Yeah. And then
the whole thing is like, we're going to fight destiny. Like like,
yeah,
will you come with me to fight Destiny?
So. Yeah. And then intermission. I don't know if any of that takes place in another game. I don't think it does. I think intermission
Yuffie is a character, though, right?
Yuffie is a character. Yeah. Yes.
From what game is she in? 7?
From 7. Okay. So Yuffie and there's another character that you'll meet in Rebirth are party members that are optional. So like in the original game, you can potentially never like get Yuffie in your party.
Gotcha.
So inner I keep calling it intermission. Even though I think if you fucking load the menu up, I'm pretty sure it says Final Fantasy VII.
I'm pretty sure it's intermission. Called
so the it's called Intergrade, but I'm pretty sure the menu calls it intermission.
I have a
physical copy right next to me. It is called Intergrade, but I'm pretty sure the menu of the game calls it intermission.
Yeah, I called it intermission last night because I'm pretty sure that's what it said when I downloaded.
Yeah, I think it's like an interchangeable name. Because why would anything have one name, I guess?
Main story or intermission.
Intermission, yeah. Maybe Intergrade is another... Is it a synonym for intermission? I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I think Intergrade is the first game and intermission together.
Oh, maybe sure that's maybe that's what that is then. Yeah, that probably makes more sense. But yeah, I don't think any of the events of intermission are... If that's in the original game, I don't remember it. So
I mean, I'm not that far into intermission, but I mean, it's obviously just taking place along the same timeline as 7.
Yeah, this was their way to introduce Yuffie to the
like. At one point, I was like running through the city, and I could hear Wedge in the background like talking to Biggs and Jesse.
Yeah.
So
Wedge's demise is so funny. In remake,
Wedge's device.
Yeah, do you remember what happens?
In the tower.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, Wedge is the bigger dude. Yeah, it doesn't like the whole like thing.
Oh, sorry, I keep doing it backwards. Yes, Wedge is the bigger dude.
Yeah, and like he picks up the cat, and the whole thing just like falls on the whole like see ya.
It sucks that Mike's never going to play these games because I do think Mike would enjoy the story.
I bought digital today just so that Mike would. I told Mike, I was like, I'm going to buy Rebirth Digital just so you have the opportunity to play it. I know you never will, but.
Are you sure you don't want that 19 inches of Sephiroth in your life, Mike?
I don't think he'd like it.
I think he would.
I don't think he'd like the combat.
Buy that.
No, I think he would. I'm just saying I do think you'd like the combat. Todd said no.
I played the combat. I did the
you did the bombing mission. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think for that combat?
It takes time to grow on you. The PAX demo from a few years ago is like a it throws you into the mix.
What mission does it have you play?
The bombing mission, like the beginning of the game.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think play fucking Yakuza instead, Mike. Yakuza you'd love. Yakuza is the jam. And I think you'd like both. I think you'd like the brawler and you'd like the turn-based. I think you'd like them both. So.
Well,
but
see what happens to me.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're diving into intermission and potentially rebirth after. So. You could probably finish intermission this weekend. Like I'm pretty sure it's like 4 or 6 hours.
I think it's 4 hours if you mainline it. That's what I was reading.
The final boss is annoying. So keep that in mind. But yeah, I'm excited to see what you
annoying or long?
Both. My same gripe I have with all of our movie picks is Final Fantasy also is too long.
Yeah, definitely is.
What do you got going in your life that's so important? Like you can't sit down and do a thing for a few hours.
I gotta play more indies, Mike. I gotta play more indies. I gotta fucking watch Seinfeld for the seventh time.
It is tough when you're like, all right, I'm just gonna sit down and play this boss real quick, and then you're like, all right, an hour and a half later, like,
yeah,
oh,
bro,
I got him.
Yeah,
yeah,
seriously,
it is like,
and that's if you don't make any mistakes. You know?
I died once. I died once in the Sephiroth mission, and it took me an hour and a half of
gameplay. I had trouble with different parts of that remake end fight, because you have to fight like the big things first, right? Yeah, those things gave me trouble, and then I fuck Sephiroth.
Actually, I don't even know if I died to Sephiroth. I definitely died to the Harbingers once.
I definitely had to have died at least once to Sephiroth. But it's, the Sephiroth fight is also stages, right? Like, it's not like... Like, yes. There's probably a checkpoint somewhere in there.
I did die to Sephiroth once, because I died after Aerith came into the fight.
Yeah. I mean, I like it, but... Oof, it's you gotta be sitting down and have time for that. And it's not... You can't just, like, pop in and pop out. You have dedicated time set aside.
That's why, like, Rebirth took, like, way too much of my gaming time over the last month. Like, I was just glad to finish it by the time I got to the end.
Bro, you were just too busy playing Immortals of Avium and whatever other fucking garbage you decide to download instead of just playing the games you should play. I'm excited to see in real time your journey with Rebirth to see if you like it or not. Because you had said... I don't know if your opinion has changed at all, but... Dom had texted me and was like, he'd probably put a 7.5 on it at this point for remake for him.
What I put on it.
Yeah, I feel like Mike, me and Todd were in the kind of in the similar headspace. We're both feeling that way. We were definitely, I think,
really like the story.
Yeah. I liked it enough. It made me play the original right after. I played it right after.
Yeah.
I mean, 7.5 is what I'd give Rebirth to.
I think I would probably give it a higher score if I had like, if I had played the original and like had nostalgia for the series, like maybe I would have bumped it up more. I just like, I don't know. Just some of the parts dragged.
See, having nostalgia for the series and then only playing like the first game only being like the first 2 hours of the original game really hurt the game for me. That kind of fucking killed me a little bit. That's why I thought Rebirth was better, because you're going to so many different places in Rebirth. Like, it's just, you always feel like there's something new. There is some, like, you know, there's a lot of filler, but, like, you do, like, you're always doing something new in Rebirth. It never feels, like, stale.
Yeah, I mean, I stand behind my 9 out of 10 for Rebirth. I love that game. I have some serious, you know, issues with that game, but I overall do love that game. Like, and I did not come out of Remake feeling that way. Like, Remake, I was, like, struggling to find what people were giving that like a 10 out of 10. I was like, I don't understand. It was wild to me.
It looks gorgeous and the story is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't love the combat system.
I do. The combat system in Intergrade is better. They add stuff in Intermission that ends up being in Rebirth. And I think in Rebirth, it's like way more refined. And so I don't know what you may or like did or didn't like about it, but it is better in Rebirth. So it might,
I don't know.
You might like it more.
I don't know if clunky is the word, but
I agree with that. I do think it can feel clunky.
I mean, I also had just played 16 a couple months
ago.
You're going from straight up action to like something that's way more metered.
And I understand that they're like trying to make it like quote unquote turn based. Like they're trying to like put turn based into a game that like isn't turn-based and like
and I love it. It's a good mashup.
It's a good like attempt at like making turn-based it like into an action game. I don't know, it feels clunky to me.
Yeah, the thing that makes me sad is like I don't think they'll ever do that combat system again, and that makes me so sad because I think it's so good. I think it's so fun. Once you start getting like,
I don't know, I feel like there's a spot to use it in Kingdom Hearts.
It's definitely Kingdom Heartsy for sure, 100%. Like
that's why, like if they were to remake the first Kingdom Hearts, I feel like that might be a decent combat system to put in there.
Yeah, I mean, if they do end up remaking more older Final Fantasies in the same like vein as like a high end remake, like 7, I could see them just doing that with the turn based games if they remake them, because. Yeah. It is. They don't. The thing is, though, and again, not a Final Fantasy expert, so I may just be speaking out of line here. Todd might know better. I don't think they all have the ATB gauge. Like, I don't think that's a thing in all of them. I'm not sure.
Not sure.
So, like that. I mean, they could just whatever the you know the systems are in those other games. They could just
you know, just adapt
fit those into that. But curious to see where you go. I'll quickly touch on
there is an ATB gauge in six.
In six, okay.
Yeah.
I'll quickly touch on what I've been playing. I'm still early in it. I'm probably like 5 or 6 hours in. But I'm playing Unicorn Overlord for the newest Atlas Vanillaware game, and it is kind of overwhelming at first, but now that I'm like into the groove of it and more familiar with the mechanics of how it functions, it's like extremely my shit. It is very crunchy. Like I don't know if you'd like it, Todd. Like I want to hope that you'd like it. But...
Is the combat like Three Houses at all? Is it more that style of combat? Because I like that style of combat.
I don't actually know what this game puts itself in for a genre, but it is not like that. It's kind of like Fire Emblem, but it's not. So Fire Emblem is like stuck on a grid. Unicorn Overlord is not on a grid. Unicorn Overlord, you are moving around your units and the other units are moving, like kind of in real time. You can freeze, like when you're choosing to move your things around, you can freeze it so the enemies are not moving. So like you're freezing it, putting people where you want to put them. And then it's like in the game, like Fire Emblem, you are selecting a unit and then the color like blue will pop up on the grid to show how far you can move that unit and you pick where you want to put that unit. Where in this, it's like open map, whatever terrain you're in, and you highlight the unit or multiple units and you're like just putting a pin on the game, like putting a pin. And then when you unfreeze it, they start moving to that pin. But the enemies are also moving and stuff. But once you get into combat, it functions more like Fire Emblem, where it's like there's different classes. You're not actively controlling the combat. It's like you get into combat and engage in it, and it's like that dice roll of, oh, you know, this class is stronger against that class, so I'll do more damage. Depending on how you set up your units and the thing, you know, you might be able to combo things or use special abilities and stuff. It's really, and I'm still early, so there's probably still a ton more systems and things that are going to get overlaid. Like pretty much every main mission I do, I feel like I unlock a new unit type, like a new class. So I feel like I still have so much more to go. I think the game is probably around 40 hours if you mainline it. So, and if I'm only like 5 or 6 in, I still got a ways to go. But I'm really enjoying it. It's like fully voice acted, which I wasn't expecting. And it's like good voice acting. It's gorgeous visuals. But just like extremely my jam. The story is interesting so far. I'm still early to the point where I don't really know fully what's going on. But it's like 100% my jam. Like I'm very, very happy to be playing this right now. And I'm looking forward to sinking dozens of more hours into it, because the point I'm at right now, which is not normally how I play a lot of games, is like I'm doing every submission I come across, which I think speaks to how much I'm enjoying myself, because otherwise I think I'd be probably a little more critical pathing it. And instead I'm like, oh, there's a side quest over here. Let me go fucking check this shit out. Very, very little negative to say about it at this point. I'm sure that will change as I spend more time with the game, but it's really good. I think there's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of fun to uncover in that game. So I'm looking forward to spending more time with Unicorn Overlord. Definitely something, if you're into like strategy RPGs like that, I think it's definitely something you should put on your radar, especially because I don't know when we're getting another Fire Emblem or something else adjacent. So this is definitely something to toss on your radar if that is your jam.
Oh, I forgot to mention Final Fantasy 14. You guys got to jump in. It's fucking awesome. I can't believe I'm like...
Are you still playing it?
Yeah. I'll pop in for like an hour or two every night here and there. And yeah, it's overwhelming the first 2 hours. And it's like very like, run over here, talk to this guy, run over here, talk to... But once you get past that and you start like actually fighting and doing stuff like that, it gets so much better.
Yeah, I think I just hit level 14. So... I'll get back to it at some point. I need to still look and see if I'm able to
carry over,
like just without having to pay yet, just like using my PC profile to hop on the Xbox version, because I'm down to play that. So I think this is a good time to hop over to the other segment for tonight, which is going to be our PAX Easter. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, can we just talk about how two of the side quests in Final Fantasy VII Remake are do squats and do pull-ups?
Just wait until you play Rebirth.
I know, I was going to say.
I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, people love that shit. I mean, the honeybee, the Wall Market is a great section of that game. I think that's where those things are, too. That's like the honeybee inn doing the dance in the game, too.
The honeybee inn is like chapter 4 in Rebirth. They're two fucking awesome chapters, but the stuff around it is not so much what I like. But, like, you know, like, but the honeybee inn is great.
Oh, is right before getting to Wall Market, moving the cranes in the fucking cave?
Oh, yeah, it is. The
I think it is, yeah.
Like, yes, yes.
Stuff from the original that it's just like, do we have to do this? Do we have to do it?
Well, I didn't have that much problem with that.
It wasn't a problem. It was just
it's just a slowdown. It's just like an intentional gameplay slowdown that I struggle to see the actual value to putting that there.
Yeah.
Other than there's like,
then you have to clean pipes at the end of the game or like unload pipes.
There is,
like,
you're in the sewer and you're like twisting fucking.
Yeah. Yes. It's a stupid
so,
shit. It's
so just, silly.
There's no reason.
And like, those are some of my biggest issues with Rebirth, because they bring a lot of that type of shit into Rebirth for no fucking reason, in my opinion.
There's one part in Rebirth that made me almost stop playing the game. And I was like, really? It was on like chapter 13. I literally was like, I think I'm just going
to
stop.
I think a lot of people that I talk to have had that same exact chapter where they're like, what the fuck are we
obviously
doing?
I wasn't gonna stop, but I was like, this is fucking horrible. Like, it's so
you're talking about the boxes, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everyone I've spoken to, many friends of the show, have also had that same like,
ugh.
Okay, come on now, what are we doing?
I remember texting you and I'm like, dude, I don't think I'm gonna play anymore. I'm like, I need to get to the end of this game, but I was like, I don't think I'm gonna play.
I literally was so frustrated with that point, and something stupid,
it goes on forever.
I know, and I was playing it before the game came out, so like, I could only talk to the few people I knew who were also playing it, and there was something in that section that I got stuck on, and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now.
Oh, yeah.
I joined a Discord call, and I was like, threw my stream up, and I was like, hey, what the fuck am I missing here? Like, what is the thing? It was like this, the silliest thing that I overlooked, but it's just like, I was so done with that portion of the game. And then I was like checked out. I'm like, I can't. But right after that, then it's like it picks right back up.
Fine.
It's just like, oh my god. So I think this is a good point for us to switch over to talk about PAX East 2024, which is coming up super quick. Somehow, some might say too quick. It's going to be. I mean, we're recording today on the 15th of March, and it is going to run from the 21st to the 24th. At the Boston Convention Center. And as I said at the top of the show, if it's your first time coming or you're a veteran and you're listening to this, I think there are a lot of, you know, things maybe that you are overlooking and really, like, oh, thanks for the reminder. And then I think, you know, just some other things that we can offer as locals who, you know, are familiar with the area and familiar with, you know, going to PAX East since, I don't know, 2012, Mike? How fucking long have we been going to PAX East?
That number sounds about right. 2011, 2012, something like that.
Jeez. When did it start? I don't think we were going from the beginning. Were we going from the beginning?
This has come up before, and I'm still not sure, because like, I feel like it existed maybe before. I knew I was caught off guard by it because I was going to a different convention at the time, and I saw that it was occurring. I'm like, oh, I should go to this. So I did. But that might have been its first year. That might have been the year before.
2010 was the first year.
I don't know if I went 2010.
Yeah, I don't know about 2010.
I know I went 2011 because like that was an odd year. Because that was the year that I went. And I won an iPad and I was like, Brennan, you need to come down here. I don't even know if I said you need to come down here. I just said, hey.
No, I'm pretty sure I was. I don't know if I was there when you won the iPad. No, you won the iPad from the Plants for Zombies Eating You, right? I was there.
You were. No, what happened was I won it. And then, like, I text you, I'm like, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I just want an iPad. And you're like, all right, I'm getting my car, I'm coming down there.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually. That is how that shook out. I don't know, wild. So, I don't know. I mean, off the top, just, like, general things to, I mean, make lists and like make multiple lists. Maybe this is just like old man at this point saying this, but like make lists, because you are gonna, especially if you're traveling here, you're gonna forget to pack stuff. I just drop that R like crazy. I never do that. Like, you're gonna forget to fucking, you know, gotta get to Dunkin'.
Yeah, while you're here, you gotta hit up Dunkin'.
You're gonna land at Terminal B at Logan. Make sure you get the Uber. Take the Uber. Don't go to East Boston. But anyways.
Scrap this whole episode. Do an entire new episode where you're doing this in the same, like, the whole bit.
Is it enjoyable? Are you enjoying this?
No.
Dom is not.
Dom's not enjoying it because it's too close to home for Dom. But
Dommy Touchdown is not enjoying it. The Dunk Kings are done.
If your cousin from Boston and fucking the Dunk Kings can be national commercials, whatever the fuck this is, can be a thing. You can be in the pantheon of terrible Bostonian stereotypes.
I mean, I feel like at some point we should try to get something like that, right? Like, we should get a thing. Like, we should, like, right?
Yeah. Unrelated. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just unrelated to this. There was a video I was watching that it featured a prominent YouTuber, I think. I don't know. It's not super important. But what's important is that he was wearing a shirt that said Market Basket. And I was like, wait a minute. Why the fuck are you wearing this shirt? Where did you get this from? What is happening?
Is the YouTuber from here? Because I don't think that exists outside of New England.
I don't think so. You guys familiar?
No, did it say Market Basket or did it say Market Basket?
Market Basket.
Okay. That is definitely a Boston thing. There's no way that it should.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with the guy Ludwig? I don't really know him.
I've heard that name. I don't follow YouTubers or streamers, so I'm like,
it was him and he was wearing that shirt. I was like,
I don't think that person's from here, but maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea.
Yeah,
that's like a big YouTuber, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah,
he was big on Twitch. He was big somewhere.
I think he's big.
I'm not. My finger's not on the pulse.
And I don't know anything about this person. And I'm sure Mike doesn't know too much about them. So if they're a garbage person, we're not like fucking Ludwig stands. Where Mike's just bringing up a shirt.
Listen, before you even go on, and this is so fucking off topic, but I found out today that Mr. Beast has never heard of South Park and never watched it. That guy has got to be a fucking alien. Like,
Mr. Beast, in the Fortnite shop.
I'm completely disturbed by it. I'm completely disturbed by this. Like, that guy's got to be living on another fucking planet. Like, yeah, I'm so confused. Okay.
Is South Park the benchmark? Is that like the.
It's fucking weird, man. It's been around. It's like a cultural phenomenon. It's been around for like 26 years.
It's like saying, like, I've never heard of The Simpsons. Like, yeah, even never watched The Simpsons, but if you've never heard of it, that's.
I don't know. Mr. Beast fucking sucks. I mean, what do you want? Like, what do you want? Like, I don't know. Not that it's like, if you don't, you're fucking stupid, but like, Mr. Beast, like.
We went from get ready for PAX to fuck Mr. Beast. Fuck Ludwig. I don't know. Fuck Ninja 2, I guess. I don't know.
I saw something about Mr. Beast that was like, because he has those fucking. I didn't look into it because I don't follow that side of the culture, really. Yelling at Walmart employees about his chocolate. I'm just like, dude, what are you? That guy, unless his money is fake, that guy's got fucking endless money. Why are you in Walmart screaming at employees. Fucking. Hourly employees. What are we doing?
Sometimes we talk about Mr. Beast too much.
Yes.
Ludwig is from New Hampshire, by the way.
There you go. Oh, Market Basket's in New Hampshire.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Also, he's a esports commentator for Melee tournaments.
Oh, then I'm thinking of someone different.
I guess we're just not.
We're not hip.
We're
very old. I promise you, we are going to give you good tips about PAX East. Starting now.
No.
So, like I was saying, make lists. You're going to forget to pack stuff. You do not want to have to scramble, you know, at the airport or some other thing to find the things you need, chargers, whatever. So, make sure you pack the chargers you need. Make sure you pack the things you need. All the regular travel stuff aside. If you have the time, which if you are planning to travel here and it's not for work, I would imagine that you are excited, and I would imagine that you have time. So I would definitely familiarize yourself with the show floor map as well as the schedule, because I think there's like there's three aspects to PAX, in my opinion, and you can jump in and correct me if you have others to add or think I'm incorrect. There's the show floor, which is going to be, you know, all the exhibitors that are there showing their games and whatnot. There's going to be panels, which are going to be taking place throughout the week or Thursday through Sunday, all around the convention center. Different times of the day, different topics. Look at that schedule. I'm sure there will be tons of things in there that appeal to you, and start to carve out your time that way if there are things that look interesting to you. And with the panels, you can always leave if it's ends up not being something you want to watch. You're not locked into that hour. You can always leave. And then the social aspect, which is like there are different rooms that you can go into that are like the retro room that has game consoles and the modern one. And then there's like there are other types of satellite rooms that exist that have other activities that, you know, are usually more social things. So to kind of pull it back to budgeting your time and like build a schedule, there's always going to be too much to do at PAX. There's always going to be too many people at PAX. There's always going to be more things that you want to do that you don't have time for. So the better prepared that you can with your time, be with your time, I think you will overall enjoy your time more. Unless you just want to go and wing it, and that's fine. That's your jam too. But I think having, you don't have to like at 10 o'clock I'm going to be here, and at 10:37 I'm going to be like, you don't have to be that regimented, but I think you should definitely look for things that interest you and budget your time appropriately for those things. Within all of that, making time for, you know, eating, taking breaks to go outside, whatever it may be.
Going to dispensaries.
Yeah, going to the dispensaries. Okay. Are there dispensaries nearby? I have no idea.
I was just kind of trying to Google, and I think like there's some around Boston, but I mean, like it's probably like 15 minutes away max. Like, yeah. you'll find something if you're looking for that thing.
But there's always going to be a lot of stuff to do. I will say that both for panels and definitely stuff on the show floor, you know, for the more popular things, there are going to be lines, so you should absolutely factor that in. If there are things that you really want to make sure you see or panels you want to make sure you go to, I would 100% make sure that you allocate the appropriate amount of time for that, because panels can max out, so you don't want to potentially not be able to get into a panel if there's something you really want to make sure you see. And then the same thing with on the show floor, you know, certain things might not have a line, certain things might move very quickly, but sometimes certain things are going to have, you know, long wait times. So I would definitely factor that in, kind of scope things out. You know, so you're not just spending all time. I mean, you are going to wait for stuff. That's the reality, but you know, you can budget your time so you're not missing things that you absolutely want to see. What any other like PAX specific things anyone wants to throw out there? Any tips or tricks? Back in the day, I'd say bring a 3DS. You can still do that. I'm sure plenty of people still will, but like that part of the culture is kind of faded, which always makes me sad.
We can bring it back. That will be the true sign of our influence if we can bring it back.
I mean, friend of the program, Zeon from Nintendo Life, I don't know if they're still doing it this year, but last year they did a whole year long like try to resurrect the StreetPass community and brought their 3DS like everywhere they went, including PAX last year. That's how I met Zeon in person for the first time. We were talking, he was talking to just people that we were hanging out with about other things, but also about StreetPass. And then we started talking about how good StreetPass was, and that's when I learned about their quest for StreetPass.
To bring it all back. Oh, so you can't see it.
Is your light flashing? Do you have StreetPasses right now?
I don't think so. But you can you see yeah. Like right here, this is where like my screen's all fucked up.
Is that a PAX tip?
That's a PAX tip. Don't fuck up your screen.
Don't fuck up your screen. Are you bringing your 3DS mic? Are you trying to StreetPass it up?
I mean, I might. Oh, is it fucked up on the other corner too? This whole thing is just dying, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh well. Apparently, I forgot. I bought Backyard Sports last year. I think it was last year for the 3DS.
Is it good?
I don't know. It's in the console. Like I put it in at some point. I don't think I played it.
Make but that your make that your packs then. Bring it to PAX.
Baseball. So that's
who's your boy? Who's your go to?
Obviously Pablo Sanchez. Obviously Pete Wheeler. There was who else did I like? This was
fucking Amir and Ahmed Khan.
I feel like one of them was actually good, and one of them.
I think both of them are pretty good.
It might depend on the game. I think in baseball, I think one of them was like a decent runner or something. And
I don't think I ever played backyard baseball.
Oh, you're fucking up.
I mean, I know it, and I'm like familiar with some of the key characters and stuff. I don't think I've ever played it.
Get on that. Kenny Yamaguchi. What was his name? Kenny Yamaguchi. He was my pitcher.
And
he is a Kimi sister.
Yamaguchi, right?
Yeah, he had a sister. I don't think she was very good. I would pick him up. I'd pick her up just because it's like, hey, listen, Kenny, I'm doing
Keisha was, right Keisha was a was a power Keisha hitter.
Keisha was a power hitter.
Mike's a big baseball guy. I didn't know this.
Was Kenny Yamaguchi the one in the wheelchair?
Yeah, Kenny wasn't the one in the wheelchair.
Yeah, he was. He was good.
And Tony wasn't that. Tony Delvecchio, he wasn't great. Sister might have been okay.
Mike is talking about this like fucking remembering the good old days, like playing fucking in the backyard. Like this is kind of wild to me.
I mean, the CD case is definitely within his arm's reach right now. Like I can grab it.
Mike, should you do like a full playthrough on Twitch or something? Like, should we?
I started doing that. I stopped.
You should bring that back.
Mike, do you have the CD case right there?
I should hold on. Yeah, keep talking about like actually what you want to talk about while I.
I don't want to be the only person. No one wants to fucking listen to me talk for an hour. What do you got, Todd? People coming here. Like, what do you?
Yo, I am like, you know me. I'm Mr. Where's Todd been for 2 hours? I'm sitting at the hotel bar. Like,
yeah, but that's
like,
how some people want to experience their time there.
Yeah,
so like,
no, I mean, we got the hotel bar at the what's the hotel right next to it called?
The Westin.
So there's the main one on the floor, and there's more of the high end one that's tucked away in the corner. Yeah, there's both of those. I mean, I don't know. Basically my PAX experience for like the last 5 years is I'm gonna run to my car, go smoke weed, come back in. Before I come back in, I'm like, I'm gonna go grab a beer or two, you know. And then I'm like, I meet up with you guys. I'm like, where have you been? I'm like by myself, just drinking in the bar.
Yeah, you know, like, but that's...
You're always like, Todd, you want to play anything? I'm good.
Yeah. Well, that's like I think that's a. That's like a twofold thing that I think is very important. Mike's got his fucking copy of Backyard Baseball.
Backyard Baseball 2000 is in that shelf somewhere. I just can't find it. I did find Def Jam Rap Star.
Ooh.
I don't know if I ever played that.
And DJ Heroes in there too.
I do have my copy of DJ Heroes somewhere.
I don't have the turntables anymore.
I still have the turntable. I actually was moving stuff today and I like opened one of the boxes and I was like, oh shit, here's the fucking turntable. Yeah, you bring up a good thing though, Todd. Like, so there's plenty of like convention food and drinks and things within the convention and the surrounding inside the convention center, and that stuff is great if you're like in a pinch and you can't walk out. But I would highly recommend taking. Many times outside of the convention. A, there's going to be tens of thousands of people in there at all times. So it's just good. Like, obviously, we live in a COVID world. There will absolutely be people there that have COVID. There will absolutely be people there that are just sick in general. PAX flu is a real thing.
PAX plague
is a real thing. If you are... not hydrating, not taking breaks outside, you know, people are dirty. There's a lot of people there and it's a, you know, you're going to potentially get sick regardless. I do a lot of stuff to mitigate that for myself. And I obviously don't want to get COVID. So like masks are not mandatory, but I do still will wear a mask inside. I take a lot of other vitamins and supplements to give myself, you know, extra immunity protection. I drink kombucha, all this stuff. Like I have like a regimented thing that I take to help amplify my immunity, if anything extra will actually work. But in addition to that, like, it is, you know, you're going to be on your feet all day. You're going to be walking around a lot. You're going to be doing all this stuff around a lot of people, taking breaks outside, drinking water. Drink fucking water, please. Stay clean. If you go to the bathroom, wash your hands. Take a shower in the morning. What, all these things, like, common sense, but like, do these things. But to get back to the other point, which is, take breaks outside for just your own reset, but also, there's so much better food and drink and coffee that are within walking distance. There's, you're going to be in South Boston. You're going to be in the seaport. There are plenty of good restaurants, good bars, good coffee shops that aren't Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks.
But there's plenty of Dunkin' Donuts.
There are plenty of Dunkin' Donuts. And there's a Starbucks. There's plenty of Starbucks. There's a Starbucks in the Westin lobby. So there's
that one's a nightmare, though.
It is. Like, it is a very high traffic thing. So, like, you know, I'm not saying go out and roam Boston, unless that's what you want to do. You know, do that up too. But there's plenty of stuff to eat and do and experience right outside the convention center, or deeper out if you want to explore more. Chinatown's not far. The North End's not far. Faneuil Hall's not far. So there are, like, things within walking distance. Plenty of things within Uber distance. You know, take those moments to eat elsewhere.
Is it in the seaport? The convention center?
It's in the seaport, yeah.
Yeah, because the seaport's, like, so much crazier now, too. Like, there's so much more to do in the seaport.
Yeah, there's so much more in the seaport now. Yeah.
So many more restaurants, like, everything. There's just, like, tons of good shit around there now.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. If you're staying in the area, I'm sure your hotel is surrounded by a lot of things. So, you know, open up Google Maps. Take a quick look around what your hotel's going to be. Look at that section. You know, look up the Boston Convention and Exposition? The BCEC. Exhibition Center. And I keep saying exhibition. You know, look up that on Google Maps. You'll see there's tons of things. There's a Shake Shack not far away. Like, there you go. You want not super expensive burgers that aren't fast food. There's a Shake Shack in walking distance. There's plenty of, you know, anything from low to high, all within walking distance. Absolutely take time outside of the convention center for yourself. You will not miss out on stuff. There will be stuff for you when you come back. Take those moments. Happy to give food recommendations if you are listening to this and reach out or comment on it. I'm happy to respond with food or coffee recommendations. Multiple bakeries and breakfast joints nearby, donut places. Like, there's tons of good stuff.
Go hit up the Lord Hobo restaurant.
Yeah, there's also a few breweries right there. I mean, Lord Hobo's right there.
Trillium's
right there. Harpoon, if that's your jam, Harpoon's right there. I think there might be a Cisco satellite brewery there too, somewhere.
There is. Yeah, it's like an outside thing, though, I think. Yeah.
It might not be open yet.
Okay. Yeah. So there are plenty of things there. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff to do. And again, a lot of this stuff is.
There's a what's that movie theater?
Oh, Alamo Drafthouse.
Alamo Drafthouse. Yeah, so if you want to go see a movie, you know, go for it. There's karaoke places that are not far from there. There's, you know, there's indoor mini golf. There are tons of activities to do. There's King's Bowl if you want to go bowling. Like, there's tons of things to do. Plenty of places to eat and drink. So I would absolutely recommend, like, take time away from the convention center. Reset yourself. And if you do go out, make sure you fucking are nice to your waiters and bartenders and fucking tip them well. I think it goes without saying, but, you know. You're a tourist. They're dealing with a lot of tourism during a heavily, you know, visited convention for this event for PAX East. So, you know, make sure you take care of the people that are taking care of you. Other two tidbits. I think especially if you're newer or you just want to try to be more organized, you can download the PAX app, which I think is now called PAX Nav, NAV. And that'll give you on your phone. You'd be able to look at the schedule, so you can look at panels. I think you can build, like, favorite things or whatever, so you'd be able to kind of keep track of certain things you want to see or do. It gives you the access to the map, so you can see the show floor and the other conference rooms around the convention. So it makes it easier to navigate. If you've been to PAX West before and you haven't been to East, one of the good things about East compared to West is that it's all in one building. So you don't have to like go between hotels and different areas. You're just kind of, everything's in one spot. I think PAX last year was also like this week or the week before. It was around this exact, it was in March. So usually, and this is like the closest non-convention food you can have. I forgot to bring this up. There's a, on the, if you're facing the convention center on the left side of the convention center, there's a place called the Lawn on D. It's on D Street. It's a lawn, not really. It's a fake grass area. Maybe it's real grass. I don't actually know.
I think it's turf.
That usually has, you know, 20 food trucks or so. So there's literally right outside the convention center, tons of, you know, mobile food options that you can eat outside if it's warm enough, or you know, take it and go back inside or whatever it may be. But plenty of, again, plenty of things to just, there you go. You get probably food that's much better than what's in the convention center for the same price or relatively similar. Those are like my, I would say like my biggest tip is, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you are traveling not for the first time. Maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe, who's to say? I don't fucking know. But I think it's important to take time to recuperate throughout the day, take time outside. I think those are like two of the more important things. I think it's very easy to get like tunnel vision and be like, oh, there's so much going on. I want to be in here at all times and see all these things and blah, 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 wait, you know, do all this stuff. You got to take those times. If you're a day pass person and you're coming in for one day, then yeah, you know, make the most of it. Still take some breaks, but like, you know, if you're not coming for the whole weekend, I get it. If you want to spend as much time inside as you want, but I'm trying to think what else at this point to.
I feel like we bring it up every year, but I mean, we're not telling you to spend your money, but if you see something that you want early in the weekend, I would get it early in the weekend. Stuff does not tend to stay throughout the weekend.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I don't even want, I was gonna say, especially like stuff that's there for the convention. Like packs
that stuff,
merch.
That stuff, if you see something you want, get it as soon as that stuff sells out very quickly. But even stuff on the show floor, like
There's a lot of vendors there. So there's gonna be a lot of stuff that's like exclusive merch for PAX, but there's also a lot of like, you know, Friends of the Show, Video Games New York, they got a bunch of retro modern games, amiibo, whatever it may be. A lot of that stuff is, you know, they're traveling with what they have, sells out. So
limited run brings a set of,
I am wearing a shirt.
of just convention exclusive stuff, and once it sells out, they try to bring stuff out every day. I think they bring like a little bit out every day, but
I think so, yeah,
just because they say that doesn't mean that they're gonna have enough to go the whole weekend, so.
Yeah, and if you care about like the official Penny Arcade merchandise, a lot of that stuff will sell out, like especially the pins and stuff. Like if there are things that you want, I would, you know, try to, as Dom said, definitely like maybe pick them up earlier in the week as opposed to waiting.
We're not telling you to impulse buy stuff, but like, it's definitely like, if you see something that like, you're like, I'm going to buy that later in the week.
Mike's like, you see that $300 leather jacket? You should buy it.
Give us a cut.
Mike wants a cut off the top.
Yeah. Use promo code, something.
What you got?
Yeah. Just walk up to the vendor and just be like, promo code Mike Desir.
see what happens.
What if they gave him something?
I don't know.
What if that was the secret slime action? And I got a bucket of slime on that.
It's going to be unfortunate that I won't hear about it until like well after the week's over. Like, yeah, did you hear? People were saying
that kid
your name.
That walked up and said your name,
They got slime. They got slime. What? Which booth did this?
I'll bring up too a couple of different things. I forget what time. Maybe if I can pull it up quick. The show floor will close at X time every day. It's probably like 6 or something. I don't know how long the show floor stays open each day. So the show floor will close at some point each day. The panels usually go throughout the day into the night, probably the last ones being, you know, around 9 or something like that. There are a lot of opportunities to you know, hang out after. Obviously, again, going to a bar, restaurant, whatever it may be, other activity. There are, throughout the weekend, probably going to be some, like, official parties for different, you know, I know there's, like, I think there's a Warframe party, if Warframe's your jam, but usually there's stuff like that. So there are things to do late night, too, if you, you know, if you go on to the PAX Penny Arcade forums, you probably find it there. Or if you search PAX East after parties, I feel like you probably get some stuff popping up. Again, I'm not saying go to these parties. I don't know anything about any of these parties. I'm just saying there are things to do. Just be careful where you go. You know, same thing you'd do anywhere. The other thing being, you know, PAX is a great place to network. It's also a great place to meet a lot of like-minded people. But I think, as you should in every scenario, you should be respectful. Not everyone wants to network. Not everyone wants to make new friends. Not everyone wants all these things. So, you know, it is usually, I've never really had negative interactions with people I don't know there. I'm sure that they exist and they happen. But I would just, you know, be respectful of people as you would in everyday life. And the same thing goes for cosplay. There's always a bunch of amazing cosplay throughout the weekend. But cosplay is not consent. You know, if you want to take a picture with someone or take a picture of someone, you know, just ask them first. And I don't think I've ever seen someone who's cosplaying not say, yeah, I want to take a picture. And part of what they're doing is they're doing it because they want people to be excited about what they're spent so much time and money, you know, making. But, you know, be courteous of those people because they might not want a picture at that moment, or maybe they're eating lunch and you're like coming over to bug them. So always ask. Don't just, you know, assume that people are okay with you taking a random picture of them or taking a picture of them. You know, just be a decent human being. I think that's like kind of the main stuff. I will say I'll throw a couple of my like I don't know, things I've brought up in the past and maybe some extras. If you want late night food, Boston is not always the super late night city. There are places that stay open late, but it's not like, you know, it's not New York. It's not other places.
We sleep. We are a city that sleeps.
Yes.
We are in bed by 12:30.
So I would 100%, you know, keep that in mind. Your options are going to get way more limited if you're trying to get takeout or get something late night. I mean, there are places that are open 24 hours and there are places that are open late, but I would definitely keep in mind that, as both of them said, we are not a place that stays open late, like across the board. One of my late night / 24, I'm pretty sure it's still 24 hours. One of my picks that I always bring up, and I'll always bring it up, is the North End is like Little Italy section of Boston. There's tons of great Italian restaurants, bakeries, etc. The three main bakeries there are Mike's Pastry and Modern Pastry, both fantastic. But if you want something that's open late, and in my opinion, maybe better, go to Bova's. It is on the next street behind those two. Mike's and Modern are on the same street and they face each other. Bova's is on another block over. And it's open super late. They have fantastic dessert pastries. They also have like these little hand pie calzones, rice balls. Like Bova's is the shit.
You say Bova's? Bova's?
Yeah, Bova's, these nuts. definitely Bova's is like a top pick for me. I feel like we need to be the ones to do this because I don't know if anyone else does. Tasty Burger is not near the convention center, but you can get it delivered. Or if you want to venture to the Fenway area, that's probably the closest one, you can do that. Tasty Burger, I would put up there as like Massachusetts In-N-Out Burger. I think it's that good. I've had In-N-Out Burger. It's fine. I think Five Guys is better than In-N-Out Burger. I'm not going to lie. But Tasty Burger is the GOAT, in my opinion, for like high class, not fast food burger. So Tasty Burger is like,
and you can get a shaft.
Huh? And you can get a shaft. You can get a shaft. Did you know that, again, because I was at Fenway 2 weekends ago, did you know they fucking moved that Tasty Burger? The original one? It's still over there. It's just not in that spot. It's like a block over. They turned the original Tasty Burger into a parking lot.
They so does paradise,
the new location
put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bop, bop, bop. So wait, is that parking lot for the Tasty Burger?
No. It is probably mostly for Fenway Park.
Parking, okay. Did they give Tasty Burger's new location more parking? I feel like I hated going down to there because I hated trying to find parking.
I don't know if there's a parking lot over there, but I mean, the I didn't go into the new Tasty Burger, but I drove by and I was like, whoa, that's like, looks, I mean, it's I don't know, something about that old Tasty Burger is great though. But regardless, it's still the same fucking food. And there are more now. There's like one in Harvard Square, I think, and there's one, I think there's three or four of them now.
I feel like the one that's, I could be thinking about something else. Don't even worry about it.
Tasty Burger is the jam. I would highly recommend that. Again, it's not close to the convention center, so that would be a delivery, or if you want to venture towards Fenway Park, that would be a top pick for me. Chinatown has a bunch of great bakeries and restaurants that are open at varying times of the day. I would, you know, if that's your style of sweet or food, there are great options down there. Closer to the convention center, I mean, there's a Shake Shack there, which I don't love Shake Shack, but I mean, I don't really eat fast food, so I'd eat Shake Shack if I wanted something super, not super expensive, that was a little quicker. But there's a lot of good stuff down by the convention center. There's a Tot Bakery, or Tate, I don't know if you say Tot or Tate, but that's a bakery that's close by that's pretty good. I mean, I haven't had Trillium in like 6 years, food-wise.
I heard the food's good at Trillium. I mean,
the last time I went there was probably like 6 years ago, and
never even been.
I mean, the food was fine. I think Trillium's beer is overrated, but Hobo has good food and good beer, obviously. But there's a few places close by. I mean, there's more sit-down stuff too. Like, there's a good pizza Italian place called Pastoral that's not far from there. There's City Tap, which is a little more like, it's like upscale pub food, but they usually have a lot of drink options. That's not far from there, and that they got some good options. There's some chainy stuff around there. Like, there's like a taco place that's like a chain, and then there's like a few other like chain restaurants, which are just not my jam, so I wouldn't recommend those, but there's a lot of options. Bova's is a must. Tasty Burger is a must if you get delivery and you want burgers.
There is a Tasty Burger at Back Bay Station, which is right outside the Prue.
So that's closer, yeah. I mean, Anna's Taqueria is also really good, but that would be a travel far, or
at the Prue.
Is it still in the Prudential though? I don't remember if it is or not.
There was the last time I was at the Prue.
Okay, then yeah. So there's that too. Anna's is really good. I won't put the person on blast, but 1 year at PAX, someone from California, we recommended Anna's Taqueria. They went, and they said that Anna's holds up against West Coast Mexican food, which I think is a extremely high compliment.
I haven't had that in so long.
I fucking love Anna's. So there's good food to be had outside of the convention center. Happy to give recommendations. I don't eat seafood, but go ahead.
I'm looking at City Tap's draft list, and not to go so far off topic, that they're just like back to national brands. It's like, it's fine. No, there's some good, this Sip of Sunshine shit like that, but it's not like how it used to be. It's just, I haven't been in the city in so long. It's just wild. Like, yeah. Zombie Dust, 60 Minute, Lagunitas. Like, yeah, wild.
So, again, I don't eat seafood, so I'm not like the number one person if you want like a clam chowder or lobster roll recommendation. But I believe close to the convention center, row 34 is supposed to have a good lobster roll. I mean, if you're getting seafood from a non-chain restaurant in Boston, you are probably getting fresh seafood, so you should be okay pretty much anywhere. But I don't want to put like a blanket statement that you're going to get good food wherever you go, but I think it'll probably be harder to find not fresh New England seafood than it would be to find something frozen or whatever. The last thing, and I'm only going to bring this up because it was like, it kind of turned into a thing last year, but it's not really something that's available in the city, is
some beef.
Fucking North Shore roast beef sandwich. It's
not
like
in the city at all.
There is not a Boston. There is nowhere in Boston that I would say, like, I would be able to put my stamp and say, get this. Everett's going to be the closest. Everett and Revere are the closest.
There's a Kelly's in Medford, which is like, I don't know. It's like a commercialized North Shore beef.
Yeah.
And like,
like right outside Assembly Row.
Yeah. And like, I'm not a Kelly's hater. Kelly's was my first beef.
I'm a Kelly's hater.
It's fine. It's way
it's too so expensive. Yeah. It's like, it's not, it's just so many better places.
Yeah. I mean, they're it's arguably the, yeah, they're arguably the originator. I don't know if there's like actual who originated the North Shore beef, but I think they're like in contention for that. That's the tough part. Last year, I had a lot of people asking me about like regional food outside of lobster roll and clam chowder. And my immediate is North Shore beef. North Shore beef to me is like more important than a lobster roll and clam chowder. But it's also because we live in the North Shore, and it's also because I don't eat seafood. But I think if you ask people up here in the North Shore, that's like an extremely regional food. Because even prior to PAX East last year, a lot of just, you know, people we're going to see next week, a lot of friends of the show and friends, when I talk about a North Shore beef or just a roast beef sandwich in Massachusetts, specifically the North Shore, most people's, in their head, a roast beef sandwich is Arby's. And that's like, there's a reason why Arby's is not in Massachusetts. If it is, it's like Western Mass or Southern Mass. There's not.
Auburn is the closest.
I don't even know where that is
anymore. I don't think it's there anymore. I think I was at
the last time I checked.
Oh, I mean, the last time I was in Solomon Pond Mall, which I guess is Marlboro and not
Auburn. Yeah, that no. There's one in Auburn. There's like standalone in Auburn, I believe.
Oh. Where is that?
The Auburn Mall.
Is that west? Where is that?
It is closer than Marlboro. No, it's just further than Marlboro, I guess.
Yeah. But like even down by you, you can't really get a beef near you, right?
No, there's not. Like I said,
there's nothing. Yeah.
Auburn is the closest.
I like.
Oh, you mean like a North Shore beef?
Yeah. Not really.
I don't know. There might be like a sandwich shop that I can probably get one that's like similar.
But it's not it wouldn't be the same probably, right? Not really. So like I wouldn't need to go down that whole hole, but like a lot of people that I talked to like didn't know what the fuck I was saying. So I made a point last year, say like, all right, we'll pick a night and we will get beefs. And initially the plan was gonna be I was gonna drive to Mike's in Everett, because I think Mike's is a very good beef. And it's not far from the city.
Right across the street from the casino.
It is also right across the street from the casino. So there's a casino not far if that's your jam and you want to go to Encore. It is a Hollywood. It is a like Las Vegas casino. I've never been to Encore, but it is a Las Vegas casino.
Yeah.
It's a win casino. Yeah. So I think there is an Encore in Vegas.
Yes, I believe so. There is transportation to and from as well, depending on where you're
from the seaport
originating. I think there's I don't know. I mean, you could take the Silver Line to like.
Yeah.
There is the option of transportation. You don't need a car.
Yes, and I will upfront with that. I will say, to go back to the point, Massachusetts does not stay open late. The T, which is our public transportation, will shut down at a probably not super late hour. So, you know, Ubers and stuff will exist, Lyfts, but I want to say the T is not operate super late.
Depends on what line you're taking. I think most of them
do end at least.
The blue and the orange stay open the latest, like, I think.
Yeah, well, one of the lines is under major construction right now, right? Isn't one of the lines like not operable currently? Which line comes out of Malden? Orange line?
Mm-hmm. Orange and commuter.
I'm pretty sure one of those lines. No, it's not the commuter rail. I'm pretty sure one of those. Maybe it's the orange line. Then I think it has like major gaps in service right now.
There would still be buses to take you from station to station.
So if you're going to use buses or trains, I would definitely look at when they are operating to and from and what times, because Massachusetts public transportation is very hit or miss. Again, you can still get Ubers and Lyfts. Yeah, so just keep that stuff in mind if you're going to venture far away, that you have ways to... Silverline probably closes earliest.
Silverline, I'm not sure, but I know for a fact, like when I was going to AMA Boston and I would have to take the green line out, they're like, listen, last train is at 12:15. You miss it, you're done.
Yeah.
And I think the
Silver Line's in the Seaport area, though, I think. That's why.
I feel like the Silver Line is like a very small line, though. It's like Seaport to fucking South Station and like maybe a little.
It takes you onto one of the major lines.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't imagine that one operates late just because it is what it is. But to get back to the point, beefs are phenomenal. They're amazing. If you want to get a true beef, it's a beef three-way, which is mayonnaise, cheese, and barbecue sauce. You can obviously modify it, but if you say beef three-way, you'll get the traditional sandwich. I don't like mayonnaise, so I get a beef with sauce and cheese. Jen gets a three-way with pickles. Order it however you like, but a beef three-way is like the traditional way to order it.
Guess what I've never had.
You've never had a beef? I'm going to fucking slap you. How have you never had a beef?
Just never looked appealing to me. I was like, I don't like the, but now I would probably want one. But I used to be the pickiest eater back in the day, and I just fucking never ate one. And now I'm at the point where I don't eat that shit anymore.
You need to have a beef this weekend. Like, I think, no, actually, maybe right now you shouldn't have a beef, but you need to change that. Other ordering tip, you can get a small, or sometimes it's called junior, regular beef, or sometimes called a large, or a super. Most of the time, the super is the same amount of meat as the large regular, sometimes a little bit more, but the big differentiator is that it's an onion roll, and I don't like onion rolls, so I never get a super beef. I always get a whatever the large, not super one is. Yeah, I don't know. Beef is something special. So back to the original point, the people that wanted beefs last year, I was searching for what could deliver. There was like one place that popped up on a delivery app that was in Boston. But again, it was like a pizza place that I never had before. And I'm showing people beef for the first time. And I'm talking a lot about beefs. I can't just like go rogue and order a beef I've never had before. So, especially because it's not in the North Shore. Because in the North Shore, I feel comfortable pretty much getting a beef anywhere. Because that's just, it is what it is. So our only option was Kelly's from Revere. So we ordered a bunch of beefs. They got delivered. They were a little on the drier side, in my opinion. I feel like they were pretty skimpy on the barbecue, but that's kind of the Kelly's way. But even what many people here would consider a pretty like low tier, all things considered, beef, everyone else that had them was blown away. And now a lot of those same people and more are like, already this year, when can we get beefs? Can you take us to get better beefs? And I'm like, yes, we can figure that out. So like, if you want to order Kelly's, I think it is very serviceable and a good representation of what the sandwich is, but you have to, I struggle to even say talk to a local, because you have to really talk to someone from the North Shore to really understand what a beef is, because I won't put the person on blast, but someone that used to work with us, Todd, for one of the breweries, I was on a work with, this was years ago, I was on a work with them, and he's like, oh, you want to get some lunch? And I was like, yeah, what are you feeling? He's like, I don't know, you want to just pick like a sub place or something? I'm like, yeah. I was like, you want to get a beef? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, fuck, do you mean, what do you mean? Because he grew up like just north of the Cape, so somewhere in the South Shore. And I like had to explain to him what the fuck a beef was, and he had no idea. And I don't know how widespread that is, but
do you know what a bar pie is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fat, so like I know what food is.
that's like the big thing.
Yeah, I like bar pies. I feel like they're kind of divisive. I don't think it's my favorite pie, but I'll eat a bar pie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. A beef is good. Can you get a bar pie in the city? Probably not. Maybe.
No, probably not.
But I think that's a good place to end it. I don't know. If you're traveling here, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably been to a convention before, whether it's PAX or another one. Just be a good fucking person.
Did you say Kelly's was available to order?
At least it was last year. We got it from Revere.
I just looked to see, and it was, you can do it DoorDash.
Yeah, that's what we did last year. We got Kelly's because it was the only thing.
But maybe
there are more options now.
But it is 9:30, and you cannot order it already. So
yeah. So the weekend will be a little bit different, but not that different. So, but beef, if you're willing to take the trek to a beef place, like we both said, the closest non-Kelly's is probably Mike's in Everett. So, yeah, that's kind of a trek to get a beef.
Go to Nick's.
What, in fucking Beverly?
Yeah.
There's a Nick's in Revere.
I never had. I think the only Revere beef I've had is probably Kelly's. But I mean, that's because why would I be in Revere eating beefs?
There's a few places in Revere.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there's, and that's the thing that I always try to explain to people who don't live here, like especially the people out of state. It's like sub shops and roast beef joints are aplenty.
And they're different.
Well, they are different, but like they're like, I remember this person. I will say their name. I remember we were having this conversation one time. This was prior to last year's PAX, and Cam was like, we were trying to talk about like subs, and then roast beef sandwiches, and I think I might have said something like, "Oh man, sometimes I just fucking like love a good sub, like a buffalo chicken sub, or like whatever, like a good sub," and. He kept saying, like, what do you mean? Like Subway or fucking some other chain? And I was like, no, I mean like a sub, like a sub place, like insert name sub or insert name pizza, like just a regular joint. And that is like not a common thing in other parts of the country to just like be able to, yeah, I'm going to get fucking Sammy's today or fucking whatever. Like that's just not a normal thing. And to a lot of people, like, sub places are fucking Subway. And that was like or a Jimmy John's or something. And that was like a real, like, whiplash moment for me of, wow, that's kind of wild. Yeah.
Subs.
Subs. We're a sub podcast now.
Finally.
All right. I think that's a good place to call it here. Let me quickly.
Mike, have you had a cheesa yet?
Have I had a what now?
A cheesa?
No. I forgot to. Was that. That's KFC, right?
Correct.
I
don't even know where there's a KFC anymore.
I was going to initially say, what the fuck is that? Thinking it was like some fucking regional food. And then immediately I was like, no, it's a fucking KFC fucking chicken.
That is a chicken breast with pizza toppings.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, yeah, it's like a pizza. Okay. So stupid.
Did you try the Cinnabon thing from Wendy's yet?
No, what do they have?
They have, like, some, like, it's like a little cup, and it's like Cinnabon monkey bread. But they only have it in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, it's a breakfast thing. I did mean to try it, but, like.
That's the thing I sent to you, and it was, like, a DoorDash deal, but it was like, Dash Pass.
I'm too lazy to get up and try and hit up Wendy's in the morning. Like I don't have the energy.
Also, I'm really silly. I almost started wrapping up the show without plugging the panels, which is what I didn't plug at the beginning for the purpose of the PAX conversation. But if you are going to be at PAX, I'll be on two panels. So I'll be hosting one Saturday night, March 23rd from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Condor Theater, called Video Game Cocktail Party, sipping on our favorite games. A bunch of amazing guests. We got Jenny Windham, Kate Sanchez, Jesse Vitelli, and Michael Hyam. I made drinks for some of their favorite games. They don't know the drinks yet. I know the games. We're going to chat about the games, talk about the drinks, have a good, relaxed hangout. Be a good time. So definitely come to that if you're going to be in the area. I am also a guest on Sunday, March 24th at 12:30 in the Albatross Theater. That one will also be streaming at twitch.tv/PAX2. So if you're not at the show or you want to catch it later, you can catch that one on Twitch. That'll be the Between Two Screens, a Nintendo DS retrospective hosted by Jacob McCourt, friend of the show. And I'm on there with a bunch of awesome guests. So that'll be a good time. So definitely check that out. We have a lot of friends of the show. Cam's on a bunch of panels. You know, Jesse, a bunch of people that you know from this show or know from elsewhere all either have panels or are on panels, and plenty of other people outside of that. So definitely familiarize yourself with the schedule. One that I will shout out, though, that's not one of our panels, because it is happening again, and it was very fun last time. This is being hosted by friends of the show, Eric Van Allen and Kenneth Shepard. This is Video Game Tinder, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is, Eric has made Tinder profiles for different video game characters, and the panel is going to, you know, together without knowing in advance who these characters are going to talk and swipe left and right and have a good time. And it's pretty chaotic, and it's a wonderful time. So definitely add that one to your list if you want. That one is Friday at 9 p.m. in the Bumblebee Theater. I think
Animals That Fly are on the top floor.
Yes.
Yes.
Animals That
Walk are on the second one, and then like the ones that swim
are on the bottom floor.
In the bottom.
I don't know. There is a thing, but I don't remember it, but there is a thing.
The top floor is definitely Animals That Fly.
I'll take your word for it. You have Albatross, Arachnid, Bobcat, Condor, Dragonfly. That doesn't seem right. It seems like not a lot. Maybe there are less this year. Maybe there are less. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. I think that's what it is. It's A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they loop in a certain way around. I don't remember. There is a like way to remember if you don't have a map in front of you, but there are signs everywhere. You'll figure it out. You're smart people. Before we wrap things up, as we end all episodes, we'll end with the game. But before we do that, a couple of outro things. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode 411 of the Pass Control Podcast. If you're a friend of the show, fan of the show, want to support the show, easiest way to do that, freest way to do that, leave us a review. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to the show. Super beneficial to helping us grow the show and getting more listeners, more people like you out there discovering us. So we really appreciate it. If you take time, leave us a quick 5-star review. It's super, super helpful. If you have bucks laying around and you want to support us, you can go to twitch.tv/passcontroller and subscribe to us there. You can go to patreon.com/passthecontroller and become a patron. You can go to passcontroller.threadless.com and getting some swag. If you... I don't know. Something else I usually plug here. I don't know if I can remember what it is. Something. Oh, if you are an audio listener, which a majority of you are, just for a quick reminder, we do stream the show live on Twitch every week at twitch.tv/passcontroller. And if you can't catch the live show, no problem. If you search Pass the Controller Podcast on YouTube, you will find our YouTube channel, which will have all of the archived podcast episodes in video format, as well as tons of other things that we make. Cocktail videos, first plays, first hours, other things. So tons of stuff over there. Pokemon card openings, like Lorcana card openings. I haven't done one of those in a while. I should probably do that soon. Anyways, without further ado, let's get into the mix here. The leaderboard as it stands for the... I guess we're going to play Answer Unlocked Surprise, which is a game where I read the achievement/trophies for a game. First person to get the game right gets the point. We keep track of the leaderboard all year. The leaderboard for the year currently stands with Mike and Dom tied in first with 12 points. Todd made a little bit of ground last week with 7 points. But he's still got a ways to go if he wants to catch up to the current leaders. Without further ado, game number one. Synergize. Calibrate your system for the optimal experience. You have arrived. Complete the introduction. The party is in you. Complete Rhythmic Guardian. Or Corgi Lovers Worldwide. Complete Cherry Dipped. Cosmic Journey. Complete Subastral. Core competency. I can't speak tonight. Complete Source Decay. Partners in Crime. Complete Ravaged Reef. Full of Surprises. Complete Star Glacier.
Well, the name of this game, but I think I know what the game is. But I have no clue what the name is.
Crushed it. Earn 5 stars on a campaign set. Bound for Greatness. Earn 5 stars on 50% of the campaign sets.
Rock Band?
Sleepy Baby. No. Incorrect.
Hero 3.
Incorrect.
Rock Band 2.
Incorrect. Rock Best. Band 3. Incorrect. Best Rock in the World. Incorrect.
Band Hero.
Incorrect. Earn 5 stars on every DJ campaign Hero. Set. Incorrect.
Guitar Hero World Tour.
Incorrect. Double down. Fulfill 20 request combos in campaign.
Rocksmith.
Incorrect. Irrational exuberance.
Fuser.
It is indeed Fuser. Dom gets the point.
Well, we were going to get there eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm surprised it took that long. I thought you would have given up on Rock Band.
I forgot about Fuser.
Most people have.
Damn.
Game number 2.
Is it still getting content?
No, it shut down.
Yeah.
There's a modding community for it, but I don't know if you can buy the game anymore. Game number 2. Strong Science. I have it, so you do.
Okay.
At least on Xbox. Strong Science. Defeat the Armored Gatekeeper. Violent Nature. Defeat the Overgrown Gatekeeper. Celestial Body. Defeat the Carnivorous Gatekeeper.
Is it Death's Door?
Incorrect.
Is it...
Tunic?
Incorrect. Pitch Black. Defeat the Phantom Gatekeeper. Big Bang.
It's not Shadow of the Colossus, right?
Incorrect. Defeat the Ultimate Gatekeeper.
Last Guardian?
Incorrect. Gold 1. Discover the first Golden Room. And that goes on for a few different ones. Voyager. Uncover the Golden Mystery. Again, start hard mode. I came, I sawed, I conquered. Complete hard mode.
Oh, it's
Enter the Gungeon?
Incorrect.
What was the name of that fucking game?
Who's Counting? Walk 10,000 steps.
I know what game it is too, and I don't.
I know what game it is, and I just cannot remember the title.
Minute.
I don't know what game it is.
Minute. Survive 60 seconds in any room.
I feel like I was whipping Brendan.
Oh, is it Disc Room?
Yeah, right.
I like was. I can picture the cover in my head. I just could not see the title.
All right, game number 3.
I legitimately had no idea what game you were talking about until
we both knew which game it was and just couldn't come up with it.
Game number 3. Is it going to be a split or is someone going to pull ahead and take the lead? I almost said the name of the game. I'm going to skip that one for now. Shopping Spree. Unlock 10 cosmetic items from the store. Snowflake. Equip your first cosmetic item. Bargain Bucket. Equip an uncommon or better. peace. Blank, 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 peace. We're going to skip a couple of these. We'll come back to them. Catwalk model. Equip your first legendary customization item. One to watch. Reach level 10 fame during a season. Household name. Reach level 25 fame during a season. Star of the show. Reach level 40 fame during a season. Flawless victory. Qualify from a round without falling over even once.
Is it Fall Guys?
It is indeed Fall Guys. And Dom takes the point.
I'm glad you said fall, because
yeah.
I was getting stuck there for a second.
The through line was games that we gave best in show to PAX at some point. At PAX at some point.
Oh.
Fall Guys. What were the three?
Disc Room, Fuser. A lot of when I was looking at games that we've given best in show to, I was like, oh, a lot of these still haven't come out yet.
That's good.
So, or if they're out, they're on PC. So that, like, I tend to only do if they have console achievements. But
I'm surprised you didn't give it Sayonara Wild Hearts. You gave that best in show.
Oh, fuck. That was the first year we did awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have picked that. Fuck.
I
think almost everything we gave awards to last year, none of them are out. It was Mina the Hollower, not out yet. Demon School, not out yet. We gave Jesse an award. He doesn't have achievements. Wrestle Quest, I think we gave an award to.
That's out. And has achievements.
I don't know what the achievements are. Oh, Slay the Spire. I don't know if Slay the Spire is on console, so I don't know if it has. It has. Wait, yeah, it is? Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have just Slay the Princess. Well, yeah. There's always next year.
Slay the Princess or Slay the Spire?
Oh, yeah. Did I say Slay the Spire? Yeah. I meant Slay the Princess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
I'm pretty sure Slay the Princess, if it's not on console, is coming. I don't think it is out yet. There must have been one more game we gave an award to, though, and I can't remember last year. I don't know.
Was it YOLO? Did you give it?
YOLO.
Whatever that game. What was that game that with the hands that you had to like swing and it was from Devolver. No, Yo something Ho.
Hevo.
Oh. Hevo.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago, I think, yeah.
No, Hevo?
Yeah.
That was before COVID. That was like
was it?
Yes,
right around it was like around 2019. That one. I think it was the one before COVID or during COVID.
It was probably 2019. Hevo release date.
YOLO
is 2019. So that means it was probably at PAX 2018. Unless it came out 2019 at the end of the year. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll see you next time. If you're at PAX and you see us, say hello, come to the panels, and we'll see you next time.